Hey, Kentuckiana, Katie George here. How would you like to save an extra $1,000 on a brand new Chevrolet? Well, right now, Coil Chevrolet in Clarksville is offering ESPN Louisville listeners an extra $1,000 off the purchase of any new Chevy when you use the promo code COIL75. So visit coildeals.com, find your new Chevy, then mention COIL75 at purchase and save an extra $1,000. Coil, where the flag is flying and Kentuckiana is buying. Restrictions may apply. See dealer for complete details.
The teams are back in action. Get that same feeling starting a new job with UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker and take pride in a good day's work. Earn $14.50 per hour and up to $150 per week in bonuses. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben. 8150, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. I don't know why it feels like a Friday. It feels like it's been a fast week. Thursday, we're going to get it rolling. Steve Rummage is on the road. Brian Hall in the booth.
You got me for one more day, and then you get Steve back. Actually, Steve will probably be back second hour. When he's gone, he's never really gone.
You didn't give the crowd the "we want Steve," even though you're not going to get Steve, or you just said
No, because Steve might be here the second hour, so if he is here, then he'll get his chant then.
Listen, I got no problem either way.
So here's the he's listening right now. He's so mad. He's like, "Oh, you didn't play, but we won, Steve. Come on!"
Right. So listen. So c'est la vie. So those are the things that happen when you just vacation all the time. You know, people wonder what's going on. So here's the thing. Edit the YouTubers. I'll just say this right now. I'll make this disclaimer. If you're normally looking forward to seeing my beautiful mug pop up on YouTube around this time, it will. It will be on YouTube, but it will not last long. Brian, tell them why it won't last long.
I don't know. You tell me.
I didn't bring my charger. Darn. I didn't bring my charger. Can you believe that? I went right over to the table, didn't unplug it, grabbed my computer, threw it in my book bag, and didn't bring it. So, people, I will listen. I will let it run.
Steve's listening.
Did he?
He sent me a nice little pleasant emoji.
I was gonna say, did he give you a Marcus Maben emoji?
Yeah, he might have given me a little emoji.
What is it? The driving emoji?
No, it's not that.
No, that's what I do whenever I pass him. He gets the.
No. It has to do with a finger.
Oh, I knew. That's what I was talking about.
Oh, yes, that's what he gave.
Yes, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Okay, so here's the thing, people. I kind of want to jump right into it because the football, I feel like a lot of the conversation we have just been repeatedly beating into the ground. So if some natural transitions in the football world, we got some sound Coach Brown. We got some sound Coach Chris Mack. We have a little sound from some of the players, basketball. Like I said, I got a feeling we'll be jumping back and forth between the Louisville and football. A couple of announcements came out. The University of Louisville, actually the Yum Center. Guess I can't say the University of Louisville. The Yum Center was awarded the 2023 regional tournament, the 2024 NCAA Women's Volleyball Championship. That's got to be good for downtown Yum Center. A couple of things coming out of the Coach Mack press conference. He's talking about the bubble formats a little bit, and he was actually asked a good question about, you know, like what was he selling to teams to, you know, to put together the local bubble tournament. And it was kind of good to hear him shout out, and everybody's going to know this is a personal favorite shout out of mine. Shout out to the Galt House. People, I told you. The about the convenience.
AJ's is back.
Oh, they never left.
Well, yeah.
I told you about the convenience of the Galt House between parking, between multiple restaurants, all very, very, very delicious food, and the convenience of not even having to go outside, right? Turns out that was a huge selling point for the University of Louisville putting together their tournament. We can house We can separate restaurants. We can house teams. We can go from your hotel room right over to the Yum Center.
Oh, it's so nice.
Well, you can actually do it in your game clothes. That's because you won't be outside more than 70 yards.
That's exciting, though. That's like basketball is back, man. When you hear that, oh, you know, the Gold House is ready to start back up the pregame show.
Well, we
got captains yesterday. We got the deal with the Gold House set back in place for the pregame. And now we got practice starting today.
We haven't stamped that pregame yet. I don't know what's going to
happen. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with that. I hope so. But, you know, that's a every year thing. But
yeah.
I'm just talking about as far as the teams being able to stay over there.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So let's make sure that Gold House thing happens again.
Yeah, I'm just trying to help you out here.
Okay, so a little bit of Coach Mack talk. What were you most excited about, Brian? And I'm going to open the phone lines, 8150-939. From any gossip you heard, any Twitter you read, did anything catch your attention yesterday?
Mack said?
Mack, the players, Carlique Jones spoke, Malik Williams spoke, Coach Mack spoke. Outside of, you know, what I was talking about with the bubble in the Gold House, has anything, you know, crossed your timeline that had
I will
you
say
excited?
That I didn't get to listen too much to the players. I'll listen to Mack in full. You know, I mean, he sounds excited for the season. I mean, as far as, you know, I know Diener and them were talking a little bit about how he didn't really address the Kentucky video the whole lot, that he really didn't get the hard questions.
He was asked about it, but I think people understood from the beginning, like, dude, I already did what I did, and I'm not going any.
I mean, how much more is there to really say, to be honest? You're just trying to get him to say something to kind of stir the pot a little bit more if you ask him one of those questions. Off the top of my head, I mean, it was a fairly Chris Mack type of press conference. I know you got something, so I'm waiting to hear what you got.
So for people who didn't get a chance to listen, I will kind of surmise, or I guess give you a Cliff Notes version of the things that were said yesterday, and I'll start with this. Carlique Jones, you remember yesterday I kind of told you Carlique Jones is a little different. You know what I'm saying? He's not going to be the I don't want to paint a bad picture. He's raw. He's a lot more raw than you're used to getting, you know what I'm saying, with your guys. But I will say, I can tell the team he's falling in love with this place. Oh, okay, sorry.
Well, he better. He's going to be one of our top two players next year.
Let me fix this really quick. I actually was doing this show when the YouTube was muted. So that means they missed. I guess it's good that I caught it now. The YouTubers missed the first little part. We don't want to make them suffer. I don't know how much longer they even get to listen. Okay, there you go. So here's what happens. Thank you, Texter 8047. Appreciate that. So, Carlique Jones, press conference. First thing he's asked about, Malik's evaluation of Carlique Jones. And then I'm just telling.
I hadn't heard this one yet.
I'm just passing along to the people some of the things that were said and asked, and these are the things that stick out in my mind. I want to know what it makes you think when you hear these things. First question, Malik or Carlique Jones is asked, Malik Williams kind of compares you to an Allen Iverson type of player.
That's a high praise right there. I mean, that makes you feel good.
But as soon as my antennas went up, the natural question happened. Brian, when you were not here, there was a your texter knows what I'm talking about. There was a small, slight beef that occurred, right? And before I move forward, I'm going to ask you the question that was asked to your replacement producer. Is your replacement producer even allowed to talk about the debate between LeBron James and Michael Jordan if they were born?
Did Jack bring that up?
Jack was in here. You know what he said to me? You want to know what Jack said to me when you were gone?
Oh, I have no idea where this is going.
He said, I can debate LeBron James and Michael Jordan because I saw The Last Dance and YouTube. I said, Jack.
Oh, hold on.
I said, Jack, have you ever watched a full game? And I'm talking about.
I didn't even factor in Jack's age.
He was born in like 96.
He never even saw Jordan.
He never even saw Jordan.
No, you can't. You have no right to make the. You can't make an argument if you did not see the Jordan era.
YouTube?
You got to be at least 30 before you can make an argument about Jordan or LeBron.
He was like, I've seen highlights.
No, you got to be at least 30.
Minimum 30. Okay,
30.
Okay, 30 would put you born in what? Was 1990.
So you got to see the 90s, Jordan.
Golly, that's still.
That's still pushing.
That's really put.
You got to be what?
Okay, if you're 30, your parents have got to be like basketball heads. Because they could have you at birth, you know what I'm saying? They could have you at your earliest ages where you start 6, 7, 8. You know what I'm saying? They could have you so locked
in. I missed
a
little bit of the 80s. So, like, I was born in – well, we don't usually do ages, but we're going to do it for this. I was born in 87. So, I mainly saw the Jordan era, but I was old enough to – the 90s Jordan era. But I was old enough to, know what was going on. And honestly, I was more of an NBA fan than I was a college fan when I was a little kid because I was growing up watching Patrick Ewing and Reggie Miller.
Right.
All those guys. And the NBA was great at that time.
Right. Your first foray into the NBA world was
Jordan.
Jordan, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I still, to this day, have a life-size cardboard cutout of Michael Jordan in my bedroom.
I mean, what percentage of what? How much can you learn about Jordan through? I said, how many full games have you watched in your life? Right?
He said zero.
No, he said like 10, which I don't believe.
No way.
I don't believe he watched 10.
You don't go watch 10 YouTube videos of one player.
I know. You didn't watch 10 full games. You haven't watched 10 full Michael Jordan games on NBC. You just didn't do it. But
no.
I gave him 10, right? And I said, even if you did watch 10 games, that ain't nothing.
No, it's a small sample.
We can't talk. We can't debate Jordan, LeBron. So, yeah. So, point being, that was what your replacement was in here arguing with me about.
See, the thing is like you can't do it off 10 games because, yeah, and his argument was that he watched The Last Dance. And I will say that The Last Dance did a pretty good job of, you know, showing you stuff, but not his actual game film. I mean, this guy was like a SportsCenter top 10 every 2 days.
But you just don't know. But here's the problem. Here's the problem with The Last Dance, and here's the problem why you can't argue with Jack about YouTube and The Last Dance. And I heard Nick Wright. He said yes. Do you have that clip from Nick Wright?
Is this the one on Instagram yesterday?
Yeah.
Give me one sec.
Okay. Texter, you had to be in the moment at least a little bit. A little bit. So here's what happens. Nick Wright makes this point, and I'm not going to do the either or. I can just give them goats, and I can call them kings and goats and mambas, and somebody had a meme about that, and I was perfectly fine with that. I'm perfectly fine saying king is king, the goat is goat, the mamba is the mamba. I'm not arguing with you about it. Again, especially if your information comes from Last Dance and YouTube. So Nick Wright did something.
I'll have it for you in a sec. Instagram's having a struggle right now.
Oh, okay, okay. And it had a bit of a sting to it. It had a small bit of a sting to it. And it's one of those, to me, I'm comfortable with the everybody can be right. Like I don't mind. I don't passionately get into that debate because I can do that with basketball. I don't want to separate talking basketball, talking detailed basketball with, oh, but what he did for the game and what he did for the sport and what LeBron is doing, just, you know, for the community, and he's changing the game with the agents. He's doing all that. Nick Wright definitely has to be 30. If he's not, Nick Wright still gets a little pass because he's a historian, a detailed historian. Jack is not. Jack Grossman is not detailed.
I will have this clip for you in a sec. For some reason, Instagram's the only website that I can't pull up right now.
Oh, no.
Give me just a sec.
Would it be easier if you, like, screen grabbed it and sent it to the thing?
Yeah, I might be able to. Hold on one sec.
Okay, so I'll just kind of get back into the conversation. The natural thing that happens is Malik Williams is comparing Karlaik Jones to Allen Iverson, and I'm like, while I do enjoy, I thoroughly enjoy the comparison, I'm like, ain't y'all just some babies? What is your cross-section? This is why lack of context is so dangerous in the world. Because, and this is why I never wanted to do ages, but sometimes I just trap people in ageism.
Okay, I found it, but give me one sec because it's a 4-minute clip. I'm going to try to get it down to the one that you sent me.
Okay. When he talks about the career. Okay, I can kind of hear it a little through. Okay, but here's the thing. They're young. So I'm thinking, what highlights of Allen Iverson could Malik Williams be using in his mind?
I got it.
To say that, okay, what I want to ask you, I want you to listen to it first, Brian. I want the part where he says, he starts off by saying something like, Larry Bird was in the league when Jordan, like Larry Bird was the best player when Jordan came in.
I think this is it.
Okay. Go ahead.
The Jordan people will remain Jordan people, which, if you think about it, is really hilarious that, okay, yeah, LeBron didn't move that much in their eyes. All he did was win the championship, because it's never been about logic or fairness or looking at the game. It's about holding on to the nostalgia and history. But I have a very quick question for Chris Broussard. Broussard, how much did these finals hurt Jimmy Butler's legacy, since we're talking legacy? How much did they
hurt?
Don't
answer
Jimmy?
This. Don't answer this nonsense.
It's a trap. God.
I don't think it hurt it. It helped it. What are you talking about?
It helped it. Hold on. Jimmy Butler.
Yes.
Did it.
Hold on.
Fell for it. Broussard.
Broussard. He's now 0-1 in the finals.
No,
I mean, I think Giannis came out of these playoffs a lot better. Giannis, zero finals losses.
You went a
Jimmy
long
Butler,
way for that
finals
one.
Loss. The single worst thing right. you can
Six
do. Single worst thing
about.
You can
Chris
do in the playoffs.
Broussard.
Right. Right. The worst thing. I feel bad for Jimmy because I thought he played well, but the legacy just tanks now. Sucks.
What I want is LeBron and AD.
Let me keep looking. Hold on.
No. The next one.
We're Hold not on. Jealous of each
okay,
other.
Okay, what I want you
if
to do.
If they can keep.
Pause it. What I want you to do is find where Nick Wright says, I didn't want to do this. He says something about Jordan being a loser, right?
Let me keep looking. Hold on.
Okay, yeah, but it is a Nick Wright clip where he talks about Jordan's career. So the point they're making, people, while Brian's trying to find that, is Nick Wright says Larry Bird was the best player in the NBA when Jordan got there. Nick Wright also points out, before Scottie Pippen gets there, he said Jordan wasn't even a 500 record team. His team never won. They were never better than a 500 record. And he says, it was irritate me, but it was kind of like, I'm not getting drugged into this debate. And Nick Wright says, it was really funny, though. He says, if you cut Jordan's whole career to his 6 championship years, he was like, yes, he has the perfect resume. But he was like, Larry Bird was the best player. He said, guess how many playoff wins Jordan has against Larry Bird? 0. Guess how many he has against, like, you know, Kareem? Or, like, you get the point. He starts kind of calling out, like, people can't just say Jordan's career is just the 6 championships. And that's what the that was the problem with Jack Grossman. It was funny, but Jack Grossman and the conversation of The Last Dance is like, that's all you know. It's 6 years of championship. You know what I'm saying? Like, if that's all you know, then you don't know nothing. You don't know the struggles. Like, you don't really know anything. Okay, so anyway, does Malik Williams know anything about Allen Iverson?
I've always, to quote the great Michelle Obama,
yeah,
I've always tried to go high when others go low. I have always tried to run a positive campaign, a campaign celebrating the greatness, opposed to what I'm about to have to do right now, which is tell you what Chris Broussard and his ilk, what the media does not want you to know about Michael Jordan. Because here are some facts. Before Scottie Pippen got there, a total and complete loser. Not just never got out of the first round, not just 1-9 in the playoffs, never even above 500 in the regular season. Can I have point number two, please? Larry Bird, the best player when he walked into the league. You know how many times Michael beat Larry in the playoffs? I don't mean in a series. I mean in a single playoff game. The answer to that is zero. But wait, there's more.
Oh,
in Jordan's entire career, there were three super teams in the East. The Celtics, the Pistons, and the Magic. His career playoff series record against those three teams, 2-6. But against everybody else, 23-1. Speaking of the East, which Chris Broussard mentioned in regards to LeBron James, once the Pistons were gone, do you know how many teams in the East Jordan's entire title run had more than one Hall of Famer? One. The team Michael was on.
Okay, that's
he
enough.
Had
that's
Pippen,
enough. That's
and
stop.
Then he had
stop.
Pippen and Rodman.
I'm not going to do full slander. It sounds like slander, right? But the point.
Reaching.
But listen, the point I was making with that is only a person who knows the whole picture would know to even have that argument. And you would have to know somebody that knows Larry Bird used to waste Jordan too. So
yeah, you had to see it.
Yeah, yeah, like that's an argument, and like so that's why you're like, dude, king is king, goat is goat.
Hey, but to his credit, Larry Bird was in his prime when Jordan was like a rookie.
No, oh, that's what I'm saying. But like that point is okay, right?
Yeah.
But again, don't get drug in the mud with the debate, but. There is more than 6 years with Jordan, just like we can criticize, you know, LeBron up close. It's like it's a great conversation to people who understood the magnitude of everything. Not just look, I seen your face light up and somebody over there going crazy. I can handle this one. Lawrence, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away.
First off, Morgan, I just got to say, Nick Wright is a clown.
I figured, I didn't want to get everybody worked up, but yeah, fire away.
You look, off of two, Malik Williams to pair Carly Jones to Allen Iverson. If that's the case, then Carly has no problem crossing over this man, getting to the rim, easy. Because basically, that's what Allen Iverson did every time, crossed this man over and got to the rim. Like, he had the best crossover in the game at that time. And plus, I saw him at Georgetown. He was that good. He used to, what, average like 26, 47 points a game?
Let me ask you this, Lawrence. How much of Allen Iverson do you think Malik Williams has seen?
Two. He probably never saw him in college. He probably saw him at close to the end of his career. How old is Malik Williams? Where he was born? 2000?
Right. Listen,
he probably watched 10 of his games on YouTube.
I appreciate the call, Lawrence. If Malik is what, 22? If Malik is 22 because he's a senior, that would okay at 7 years old.
So he would have been born in 98.
No, later than that.
99?
No,
if he's 22.
98.
It's 2020.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Sorry. wait a minute. He's probably not 22, though. How old is Malik? That's darn it. I can't believe we went down a complete rabbit hole of ages. Where was Allen Iverson? Type in Allen Iverson.
Okay, so Malik Williams was born in 1998. He is 22 years old. Allen Iverson's career.
No, this is what I want to do.
Let's see.
Put him, listen, in 2006, where was Allen Iverson? Because that's where Malik would have been able to see him with his own eyes and kind of like start copying Allen Iverson.
2006 was his last year with Philly.
Really? So Malik, he might know a little Allen Iverson.
So mid-season of the 2006-2007 season was when he went to Denver.
Okay.
And then he finished at Denver and Memphis.
If at 8 years old, Malik Williams saw Allen Iverson, Carmelo, and J.R. Smith was on those Denver teams. Golly, I was...
Oh, my gosh. When you look at Iverson in his prime...
I was crushing wheat with my Denver Nuggets team in 2K.
I will say this. So he saw two to three good years before then he started getting into the 12 to 13 points a game.
Yep.
But let me read this to you. From 96 to 2006, listen to these numbers. Averaged 23.5 points his rookie year, 22 his second year, 27, 28, 31, 32, 27, 27, 30, 33, 31, 26, 31. Those are the points that he averaged in those years.
So, my point was Malik would have only saw Denver.
End of the year.
Yeah, Denver, Allen Iverson.
What? Detroit, Memphis.
Where else did he go? Detroit? So
he went from 06 to 07, everything before he was in Philly. In 06, 07, he played part of the season with Philly and then part of it with Denver. Then the next year he played with Denver. Then the next year he was half Denver, half Detroit. And then the last year he was half Memphis and then back to Philly to end his career.
I hate that Malik had to watch Memphis Iverson and Detroit Iverson. It's like, ugh, yuck. But
not the same player.
Not the same player at all. But
not the same like Philadelphia 76er.
I hope that Malik Williams is just a basketball, aficionado, that he just knows his history and he just, maybe, you know what? He's the oldest of a bunch, right? He's probably an old soul, too.
I just forgot how good he was, man. Like, even those numbers I just read off to you about the points, all those years he averaged over somewhere between 5 and 8 assists.
He's 6 foot. Huh? He's 6 foot.
Yeah, he was 6 foot.
He was 6 foot. Malik called him Iverson. Yeah, I'm 25. Okay, Texas says, I am 25. If you like the NBA, you watched AI and Melo. Yeah, because they were the young, exciting team. Like I said, I used Melo for about 3 years straight with Denver. I had a good Texas says, talk about a dog. Nuggets Iverson and Philly Iverson ain't on the same planet. Yeah, fair enough. Larry Bird had 3 Hall of Famers. Yeah, like I said, I didn't want to go so far down the Jordan. Like I said, I just wanted the acknowledgement that you had to see both players' stains as well as their, the things you loved about them. In order to have a real conversation, I have to be able to identify Jordan's flaws, and LeBron's flaws together.
And the person doesn't get the full effect of the good and the bad. They get the highlights.
Yeah, right. Like if you weren't around when they were calling Jordan a gunner, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
His early career, he was a gun. That's what they were saying. Teammates, but in hindsight, big picture, now we say, okay, he gunned because he was more competitive than everybody.
Yeah.
But yeah, you don't know that punk.
Exactly.
Yeah. So here's what we'll do. We'll get back to the press conference and I'll get into the real deal analysis. I'll give you people what you learned yesterday that you don't know you learned. Middays with Marcus Maven on 939 The Ville.
Hey, Kentuckiana, Katie George here. How would you like to save an extra $1,000 on a brand new Chevrolet? Well, right now, Coil Chevrolet in Clarksville is offering ESPN Louisville listeners an extra $1,000 off the purchase of any new Chevy when you use the promo code COIL75. So visit coildeals.com, find your new Chevy, then mention COIL75 at purchase and save an extra $1,000. Coil, where the flag is flying and Kentuckiana is buying. Restrictions may apply. See dealer for complete details.
The teams are back in action. Get that same feeling starting a new job with UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker and take pride in a good day's work. Earn $14.50 per hour and up to $150 per week in bonuses. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Middays with Marcus Maben on 93.9 The Ville is broadcasting live from the OPC Pest Services studio. Now, here's Marcus Maben and Steve Rummage.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben. 8150, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. Did everybody get a good giggle out of that one? Did people from my era get a good smile wherever you are in your office place in your car? Did that just give you a little?
I don't know if it did them, but it did me.
We all realized how ridiculous and how funny and how much of a good time we had listening to this song.
Yeah.
And this was back when videos were a major part of your music world. We loved seeing them sitting in their cars arguing back and forth. Girl, I had to buy some rims for the cat. Oh, so anyway, conversation, comparison. We went totally down a dark hole of Jordan and LeBron conversation because I it just made me think Malik Williams' comparison of Karlaik Jones to Allen Iverson made me just kind of think about, you know, what age group, what window, you know, would lead him to make that comparison. But the point is still, Malik Williams is comparing Karlaik Jones to an Allen Iverson type of game. And maybe it's more attitude, personality, dog than just explosive crossover, but that was the first question Karlaik was asked. Just some other takeaways, and I'm doing this just fresh off of memory. Takeaways from Karlaik Jones' press conference. He talked about being embraced immediately when he got here. He was asked about, you know, what is he basically asked, like, what does he notice in his teammates, like, what, you know, what observations about his teammates. He says, these guys are really tall. He talks about, you know, his first time, you know, where he says something about, you know, it's kind of new playing around this many guys who are 6'7", 6'8", wingmen. And then he slips in. This is very, very Freudian. People wouldn't have noticed it at all. But he says a bunch of guys, 6'7", 6'8", wings all around. And you know the first name? You know the first name that started to come out of his mouth? Quinn Szczesny. He didn't even go that far. He said, man, it's a lot of tall guys in here, man. You know, I used to be around so many big guys, big 6'8", you know, 6'7", 6'8", wings. I mean, it's just a lot of big guys. You heard it and you're like, so the depth of height, you almost mentioned, you know, just like I said, extra big guys. Just listen for that one. If you want to go back and we might get that clip for you the second hour and see if you can read into some. He was also asked, he talked about, you know, the height of the team. when asked about he mentioned David Johnson. I don't know how that the David Johnson conversation came up, but this is what he said. And again, I'm paraphrasing to the best of my ability, but you'll get the point. David Johnson, he said, very skilled, young. He said young, but very skilled. He said, it's great to have another guy on the court that can see the floor like me, that can make plays like me. Actually, I see myself in him in a lot of ways. When I heard that, here's the thing. I almost said it yesterday when we had Rummage on the line. Rummage has been kind of buying into the Carleek thing really, really heavy. So when we're just having regular debates, of course, I have to be devil's advocate guy. And I have to say, I don't know, man. And again, I'm being this guy just for sake of us going back and forth. And I say, I don't know, man. There's no way he's, you know, he's that, you know, is Coach Mack setting him up to fail? Like, especially anybody from the Louisville historical perspective, you've listened to every single year a Coach Pitino say best fill in the blank that we have. You've heard it a million times. So is it one of those? But the more you hear things, you get late. You listen as a captain, you hear the comments about him, you hear Coach Mack say could be one of the most talented guys in the room, and it's kind of bringing me into Steve's world about this dude may really, really be the goods. I mean, you can only repeat it so many times to say the number one grad transfer move in the country. He may be the real, real deal.
Well, I think even more so than what you're saying is we need that leadership quality. We need somebody who can come in and kind of be the guy. I mean, Malik is the guy, but outside of him, we debated over captains for a while last year. Like, we didn't really think Jordan Worrell was like an on-the-court captain.
Uh-huh.
Then we knew David Johnson was a little bit too young to be, you know, mm-hmm. the older guys to listen to.
Yeah, and coming off the injury set him back as well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I think having a guard leader and a big man leader, mm-hmm. and you know Malik will work with all the bigs and he'll be the leader there, and then Carleek will be the guy for the guards, and we needed that, and we saw also Carleek Jones make some big plays with the game on the line, and that was another thing that we had a problem with last year was closing games. We didn't know who to give the ball to when the game was on the line because Jordan Worrell was a little inconsistent. I mean, he was our best option, but now we think because we've seen a guy hit several big game winners in big games that he could be that guy that we give the ball to when the game's on the line. But I also think David Johnson's going to be in that conversation now that he's a little older.
I will say this. If we were judging the grad transfer point guard of Christian Cunningham and Fresh Kimball, we all landed at about the same place. These guys had good qualities, had really good point guard qualities, was very close to being perfect fits for our team, but both of them had the exact same kind of hindrance to their game, and it was that little extra lack of confidence when you needed them the most. And again, if you go through Christian Cunningham, if you go back and watch highlights, you would say right now, you would say, man, I wish we had Christian Cunningham last year, you know, on last year's team. When you see Fresh Kimball, you're going to go back and say, he's a tough little player. You know what I'm saying? But you're going to remember a couple of times where you're like, no, we really needed you to be confident and go get, you know, go make the play happen. Fresh Kimball did the same thing, kind of just let the game come to him a little too much sometimes when you're like, no. And I'm thinking at least, maybe this is where you get over that point guard grad transfer hump with the confidence of a Carlick Jones. Let me get
100% think you're right. I mean, the fan base all knew that when like you said, Fresh Kimble and Kristen Cunningham came to Louisville, they were those borderline starters. They're like, you know, we can throw them in a pinch, you know, they can start for us, but you know, realistically, we hope somebody overtakes them and they're kind of coming off the bench. But both of those guys turned out very well,
right?
You know, and I'm glad that we got them. But I think Carlick Jones is kind of in a different tier, I would say, because he's a guy that when we got him, we instantly knew he was our starting point guard. It wasn't like, you know, it's still between Fresh and David, you right. know, and that. So, but the other thing about Carlick is, I think, and I'm not trying to compare him because they're two different players, but he's more in the tier of like a Damian Lee type grad transfer. I'm not saying that he's going to be Damian Lee.
But
I'm just saying he's more in that top tier as opposed to that second tier.
Yeah, affect the game. Yeah, definitely. Gary the Redbird, thanks for joining us on Middays with Marcus Maven. Fire away.
Hey, buddy, what's going on, man?
Feeling good.
Good. Hey, sounds like y'all are talking basketball, but you know I'm a football guy, so
I got two
things. First, football. You know, it's a tough time to have a position where we needed that bounce back game. You know, like so Brian thought the Georgia Tech game was going to be that bounce back. Now we got to go up there and try to, you know, manhandle the mighty beast of Touchdown Jesus. So, see what we can do. You know, outcome. You know, I can't really call it. I just want to see like a good, clean game. Keep penalties down. Just play hard, effort, everything like that. Give it all you got, and just you know, try to establish something.
Let me ask you this: How'd you beat Georgia Tech? Do you think this would have been the best week of defensive practice? Because Coach Brown yesterday was quoted as, this is the best defensive week of practice since he's been at the University of Louisville. Do you think it's just a natural progression, or do you think it's because they lost to Georgia Tech?
Well, I hope it's because they lost to Georgia Tech. I mean, that's in my eyes, because it seems like they just had so many miscues and just mistakes and missed tackles. Tackling just seemed like it was just a form of not showing up. And, I mean, maybe he sees something different. I mean, he's the coach, and we're all just fans. So, I mean, hopefully.
You just got Notre Dame nerves, don't you?
Yeah, well, yes. Yes, I do. And normally, like, you know, Wednesday, Thursday of that week, it's like it finally hits me. I'm listening to you guys. Steve's in there going nuts. And then, you know, you're trying to hold him down a little bit. But see him on YouTube standing up and throwing his arms around and getting me hyped. But, you know, now it's just kind of like I'm at bay and I'm kind of just figuring out where I'm going to be at. And, you know, mentally just trying to get ready for that game for that week. And, it's just like I'm kind of in like a different place right now because I don't know where exactly we're at as a football team. And it's kind of a weird feeling. So, you know, I mean, if you think, oh, well, we're going to go to Notre Dame, we're going to get pounded. I mean, I don't know that right now. I mean, like 2020, like somebody said last week, I think Steve said it, we may go into Notre Dame and win. You know, who knows? But that's, you know, like I said, I just want to see a good, clean game, just play hard, play with effort, and then just try to, you know, get back right on the right track. My second thing was, so I dabble a little bit in the grass business, cutting grass, not that type of grass for all you crazy people out there, but I do a little grass on the side, and I'm not into it as much as Benji or our guy Ken Harbison.
Right.
But shout out to Ken Harbison, man. Oh, my Lord. Back in September, we did a kill-off of my front yard, my lawn, right? And I tell you what, it is a beauty when you look out there this week. Okay, we'll see what it looks like. Okay, next week, see what it looks like. And I look out the front door, I pull up in the driveway, and my eyes light up, man. They get as big as basketballs, man. He is the guy. You know, I worked with him a little bit, and he showed me some things, taught me some things. So, you know, my lawn is on the up and up, and as he says in his little videos, it's like domination on both sides. You just, oh my God, my lawn, it is beautiful, man. You know, you need any lawn care needs and restoration,
stuff. Give Ken a call, man. He is that dude. But like I said, just go Cards, play hard, and let's get back on track, guys. All right.
Listen, Gary. Appreciate the call, Gary. Couple takeaways from that one.
I always like talking to my buddy Gary.
Gary had nothing to go on with the Louisville Notre Dame. Gary is just feeling anxious about the Notre Dame game, and he just wanted to talk about it openly.
Well, he talked to me a little bit off air, and he was like, we need that bounce back game, and it's hard because we thought that the Georgia Tech game was going to be the bounce back game, and then when we didn't get the bounce back, we're kind of like, well, let's just kind of get through this weekend, and then we can bounce back after that. Right. And he's like, it's just such a weird spot to be in. Right. And I talked to him. I was like, it's just terrible timing when the Notre Dame game came up, that it's right after the Georgia Tech loss, and we don't really get a chance to like recover and get that win and kind of get everybody back in a positive mind frame.
And see, I know what you're saying, but I see it different. I see it as the perfect time, because what better opportunity than take a tough loss and get a shot at a top 10 team? Like, that's what keeps you locked in. That's what keeps you from not doing something, not going out and drinking after, you know, partying. And that's what I mean. Like, not just,
it's a great spot if we can pull the win off too.
of course that, but you understand what I'm saying? After a tough loss, if you play another trash team, you know what you do? You have a trash week of practice because you're like, yeah, we should have beat them, but now we got to play Syracuse.
Yeah, and you're not getting pumped up for it.
Yeah. So
at least you're getting pumped up for Notre Dame.
Yeah. So that's why you have the best week of your practice. And number two, Ken Harbison gets all the love he wants no matter what at this show. People, every time you tune in to Middays with Marcus Maybe and you hear that song, Ken Harbison is the one who does it. So if I can pass anybody along to Ken Harbison's world, follow him on Twitter. He is the author of my Middays with Marcus Maybe beats, and just follow him too.
He's a good dude. I think the name of his company is Polo Fields Lawn Service.
Yes.
And he posts videos of a lot of the yards that he works on for different people, and Gary's not lying.
Like, right.
He makes your yard look good.
Yeah. He takes it serious. And listen,
the grass looks good.
Fall care. He will get you through the winter. He will get you he will get you set up. The texter says, are y'all sure that wasn't right? No. He gets all the love that one man. Like I said, if I could have found a way to get that man royalties when I even just started the show, I was just too broke to contract him or anything. I would have contracted him if I could have. But Ken Harbison, I definitely, say you should follow him. He actually started doing a couple of videos about lawn care that, I mean, I feel you, but I'm like, Ken, I don't know if you can get that stuff away for free, man. Like,
yeah, that's what I was talking about. Some of those videos, I've seen some of those.
Yeah, it's just like, you're letting a little bit too, little too much inside baseball right there. That's, what is it? Game is to be sold, not told, bro. Take it easy. We're rolling. We're rolling along. I'm having a great time. Middays with Marcus Maybin on 93.9 The Ville.